You guys are going to get very little out to help here, but I'm going to give you what I got. And I'll tell you a funny story, and then we'll get on with it, with him coming in late. I didn't do to him what I did to a judge the other morning. 7:30 on Friday morning, we were out here in the retreat center, and all of the small group leaders get together. Well, I don't know some of them, but some of us have been friends a long time, and one of them is a guy named David Barnett, and he is the judge, was the district judge over here in Tillman County, which is right across the river in Oklahoma. And he had been, making excuses. He didn't reply to me as he was supposed to. He'd done a couple other things. And I had taken the phone away from one of his buddies who was talking to him and gave him a chewing out on the phone in good spirit about not doing what he was told. And I told him, do not be late Friday morning to that 7:30 briefing. Do not be late. Well, he called a friend and said he was going to be 10 minutes late. So, I'm up at the front and everybody is getting ready. And I told him, I said, when he comes in, you all start saying, here come the judge, here come the judge. Just as I got finished with the instructions, he came up to the back door. And he walked through, and I started that, and someone out in the audience, I have no telling, no word who, said, all rise. So here this guy walks in late, a district judge, and we're all saying that chant, and everybody rose. And his face turned as red as any shirt in the country. And he told me afterwards, he said, Willis, I will never be late again to anything you're doing. So that's what we were trying to do. My name is Willis Choate. I am a newspaper publisher in southern Oklahoma. My family's been in the newspaper business like virtually to you guys, it would seem like forever. My grandfather bought the newspaper in 1897, and it's been in the family ever since. It's a weekly newspaper. That is spelled W-E-E-K, not W-E-A-K. And it's family owned, and I have the privilege of not being edited when I write a column. I am not a part of the liberal media. And so don't get on off on that. A little history about this, enough about me. John Crawford said to me last year that too many of our workshops were giving a guy an opportunity to come preach for 90 minutes on some subject. And that he felt like that a workshop should literally be a workshop. And that they ought to work. And with respect to that, I decided I was going to try to do something that has not been done here. I'm going to do a workshop that you guys are going to work. And it may be the longest hour and a half you've ever spent. Now, if you choose to go to sleep, it's okay with me. Just don't snore loud. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you just a little bit of a briefing. And then I want you guys to begin to write spiritual goals. The problem of it is, we all talk about goals, priorities, and use of time. I used to give that workshop for an hour and 15 minutes on what we jokingly call the circuit. I travel with a group of men who put on conferences all over the country, literally. And that was one of the things that I did. One of the workshops I did was goals, priorities, and use of time. And I have in my notes, I've got an hour and 15 minutes of lecture. But I'm going to choose today to not do that. I'm going to give you a very, very simple premise. And I'm going to let you spend time writing your spiritual goals. And we're going to talk about them. But so this is practical. This is something you can write down and you can take home. And you can look at it. And frankly, you young guys, I'm thrilled to death you're in here because you get a chance to get a look at something that a lot of us older ones wished we'd done years ago. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of background, and then I have done this morning what I'm asking you to do. I sat down and rewrote my spiritual goals. I had written them a long time ago, and felt like that it was not fair to ask you to do something that I wouldn't myself do. So I sat down in some free time this morning, and I rewrote my spiritual goals. Let's talk about it. I'm going to make this very simple. Now, some of you guys didn't get the cream-colored handout. And I'm sorry about that. Somebody got in my packet over there because I had more than available than is here. But anyway, that's another story. Over on the back of that sheet, if you need to write it, I'm going to give you just a simple premise. We talk about goals, priorities, and use of time. And there are several ways to look at that. But on those of you that got the cream-colored sheet, it's on there. The rest of you need to write it down. A goal determines the what in life. Got it? Your goals determine the what in life. Second simple thing, priorities determine the when. What, when. Use of time determines the how. Very simple premise. I'm going to talk just a minute about the goals. Goals are the what that you do in life. Goals can be divided basically into two areas. What we are to be and what we are to do. An example of what we are to be is growing in Christ likeness. Romans 8:29. Anybody quote that? Somebody look it up for me. I'm not going to butcher it. Okay, slow it down now.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Okay, growing in Christ likeness. Okay, that is what we are to be. The second area, general area of goals is what we are to do. Now the example for that is grow in effective service. That's Galatians 6:9-10. Anybody got that one? Well, they took it out of my Bible. General Electric Power Company is how you remember that, by the way. Galatians 6. 9-10. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have an opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Second principle, the second general area of goals is what we are to do. Grow, and one of the examples of that is growing more effective in service to our fellow man. Now, priorities determine the when. They have to do with the order and importance. Priorities, to have your priorities right, you must have the right goals. That thing builds. It's goals and it is priority. And if you're going to be all that God wants you to be in the Christian life, you need to get this knocked down somewhere. One other thing. Now, the use of time determines the how. How are we going to get this done? There is, and one of us, I'll get to cover the other scripture. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, there is, in Alice in Wonderland, there is a point where Alice and the hare come to a fork in the road. And they don't know which fork to take. And I'm not much into Alice in Wonderland. Don't you guys start looking at me like that, okay? The front row guys, don't you do that to me. Okay. And what happens is, the hare says to Alice, it doesn't make any much difference which one we take. Because when you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Okay? Pretty interesting, isn't it? I hope I didn't butcher that too badly, but that's basically what I got out of that. And when you look at that, that's true. If you don't have a goal in life, now most of us have financial goals. They're either written or they're in paper or they're written in the back of your head. You've got a financial goal. Some of you guys in college, you've got a goal. Get out of that thing. You know, let's get this over with. But that's sort of where we're going. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to read you the goals that I wrote this morning for me, and one of them you may laugh at, but I think you'll know why I'm writing it. I did this probably 20 or 25 years ago. I had updated it a couple of times, and ironically, I looked for the one I did 25 years ago and couldn't find it. That's one of the old man deals. You know, whatever it is, you can't find it that you think you really need. Some of you older guys will laugh at that. Now, here is my life goal. And now, as I read mine, you begin to think, begin the thought process of what it is my life goal. Now, one way of saying this is that your life goal is what you would want to be written on your tombstone. I don't particularly like that approach, but that's one of the things that is occasionally done with this. Now, my life goal, as I reviewed it this morning, is to make a significant difference in the lives of those people with whom God allows me to come in contact. Simple, not terribly spiritual, just something simple. I don't want you to write a life goal that is too complicated. Keep it simple. Now, you're not going to write it right now, but keep it simple. And I'm not going to go into that any further. Now, I'm going to jump skip from a life goal down to a one-year goal. My one-year goal is to recharge my spiritual batteries and restart EDM, which is Equipping Disciple Ministry, in Marietta, which is my hometown. I have a second life goal, and it is for my for my 17-year-old grandson to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. My wife and I took our 17-year-old grandson into our house to raise in October. He was living in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he needed a change of scenery. And we went out and brought him to Marietta, Oklahoma. Been a heck of an adjustment for him and for us. So I got emotional about it, didn't I? Sorry about that. Okay. How am I going? Now I'm going to go down, and on that one-year goal, I'm going to set priorities. My number one priority in my life, and I'm being dead honest with you guys because I'm not supposed to be like this, is I need to energize my quiet time. It's lost its edge, it's lost its meaning, and I need to energize my quiet time. I need to redouble my efforts in spiritual memory. Number two. Number three, read a challenging book cover to cover. I read pieces of books, and I move on to another book. I may read a piece of another book. I have three going. I get nothing out of any of the three. So it is to read a challenging book. And the other day, I had, and this is not in the realm of necessarily the spiritual. The other day, they ran one of those tests on me to determine what my fat ratio is. Don't do that. It is extremely discouraging. So I'm not even going to set the goal where they set it. I'd like to lose 20 pounds in the next year. I'll probably come back next year and be 3 pounds heavier. But that is my goal. So I have given you the top end, my life goal. I have given you a one-year goal of what I would like to do. Now, I'm going to give you my long-term goal. And I'll just go ahead and give you the other one too. My long-term goal, as I was thinking through today, is 5 to 10 years, and I wrote down, live that long. You guys, you'll understand that better if you make it to 71 years old, okay? My second part of that was that I want to finish well. And I would like to finish well, not just finishing well, but I would like to finish with my torch still lit. It is one thing to finish the race, but it is another to finish with your torch still lit. And here's the verse that I looked up today about this. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. I don't want to finish my life without my torch still lit. And that, in my mind's eye, is being able to pass on something of value in the last days of my life. Now, if you heard John Crawford's deal a while ago, and Kirk Humphrey's talking about it, you know what I'm talking about. And if not, I don't think I can retell the story. Okay. Midterm goal. To be a part of a group of men who could be dropped in the jungle without Bible, book, track, or communication with the outside world, and in a week, they will be leading a Bible study. They would lead that Bible study based on the Word of God which was in their heart and in their head. And they would need nothing else. That is a goal, to be a part of that kind of group. That I was a part of that kind of group 15 or 20 years ago. I believe that I was associated with some people who could have done that. You could pick them up from where they were, drop them in the jungle, and they could start a Bible study and lead a Bible study without any outside aid. It was in their heart and it was in their head. That is a fair goal. Okay? Short-term goal. 1 to 3 years. I would like to see growth in a multiplication ministry in my hometown. Okay. Now, I have given you all some very bare-bone examples of what a goal is. And we're going to have long periods of silence in this workshop. Because I know that if I don't force you in a sense, if I don't force you to face up to this idea of a lifetime goal, you will go out of here and do nothing. I probably have given that goals, priorities, and use of time workshop to 1,000 people over the years. And I would bet you that not over 50 to 100 of them ever actually made an application of what was in that workshop. Now you think about it. I'm not interested in you guys building the bigger notebook that you take home and put in the top drawer. I would like for you to take the time, and you're going to have to be honest with yourself. And some of this may not be very comfortable. But I want you to take the time to write down a life goal, and then we're going to discuss it. I will not ask you to share your life goal unless you are willing. There's no pressure on this deal. But I think out of sharing it, once you get a chance to write it, and we'll take about 10 minutes or so, and I'm going to try to watch my clock pretty well. We're going to then talk about what is our life goal. Because I think that from the interchange between us, operating almost like a small group, we can be encouraged by others. Okay? Now, I will, if you want me to, Mike, you kind of watch my time for me. You tell me when 10 minutes is up. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to start this process of writing a life goal. You first thing you want to do is pray. Pray and sit silently for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then start trying to put pencil on paper. If you have a problem with this and you want me to come to you quietly, I will come talk to you about it where you're sitting. Just raise your hand. But I'm going to do everything in my power to put you in a position where you will feel comfortable writing a life goal. 10 minutes starts, Mike. Mike, are we about a minute away? Okay, I'll tell you what let's do. I'm going to take about a minute. Let's talk about failure. Now, if you looked at that piece of paper and that thing never did go from blank to something, that's okay. It's all right not to be able to do that at this particular moment, because I sprang something on you that is very difficult and it requires a lot of thinking. But I wanted you to get the opportunity to do it here. Now, here's my approach to ministry. Do you guys know what a beggar is? Beggar. You know what that is? What is that? Desperate man. I look at my ministry as one beggar trying to find another beggar find bread. I am no better than you are. I'm just like you are. And I struggle with the same things you do. Do not be self-conscious in this environment in sharing what it is on your heart. Because what's going to happen in here is nobody will think any less of you for it. Do you know what the definition of a good friend is? It's one that you can share your most ludicrous idea with and he thinks no less of you for it. So that's the kind of environment we want here. And I'm not going to force you to share. But don't you think somebody's going to condemn you? You younger guys, don't you think anybody's going to look down on you? That will not happen here. Clear? Did I put a velvet around the brick? No, I didn't, did I? Okay. Anybody like to share what their life goal is? Kelly?
To be victorious in being chosen by Jesus for life in God's kingdom. To hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Hey, that's not bad for that old guy, is it? I mean, isn't he a lot smarter than he looks? Yeah, okay. Somebody else. I will not pick. I know him. And I may get on Tom in a minute too, but that's all right. I'm not going to pick on the rest of you guys. Yes, sir. John?
Leave this world knowing I've had a positive influence in the lives of others to the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. You guys be listening because it's pretty good. Because what I may have you do is I may have one of you guys pray after one of these guys gives something. Okay? Because we're turning this into spiritual. Young man, I'm really interested in what you have to say.
Mine was to know and love God as fully as possible and in dependence upon Him reproduce reproducers.
Father, I thank you for this man's insight. Because he's not a boy, he's a man. He's thinking like a man. Father, I thank you for what he has just shared with us. I thank you for the fact that he set a really high bar for the rest of us. In Jesus' name. Somebody else?
To yield my life in such a way that the Lord can use me to make disciples who will be able to reproduce themselves.
Okay, now he took a different approach now. He took an approach that is a reproducing ministry. He's at the age where he wants to invest his life in something that will reproduce. Okay, pick up on that. The Bible seems to indicate that there are two things that will last forever. The Word of God and the souls of men. A reproducing ministry is a ministry that will last forever. Because as you invest your lives in men, when you die, they continue to share that and move it on down the road. So you, in effect, can live forever. That ain't bad off the cuff, okay? Somebody else? Yes.
Looking at this conference, I would really like to leave behind reproducing men.
Okay.
Men in every facet of my life. Family member, my work, guys at work, church body, impact that, and the neighborhood.
Okay.
Apart from this, that's a high bar.
That's a high bar. You know what's the most difficult part? Now, he has several stages in that thing. There's layers in that deal. You know what the most difficult one is? It is your family. Yeah. Guys, before I had a life change, boy, when I started trying to wear the badge in that little old country town I live in of Christian, I lost 90% of my vocabulary. Because I didn't feel like Jesus wanted to identify Jesus with me or with Jesus. And talk like I did. Because I was a cusser. And I had to give that up. The most difficult thing is with your family. Is that they remember the time you hit your finger with the hammer. And the word you said. Okay. Pretty good example. It's really so hard to share Christ with your family. It doesn't mean that does not relieve you of the responsibility to do it. But it just makes you aware it isn't easy. Okay? Thank you. You guys are doing this well. So y'all think we're going somewhere? Let's do a couple more, okay? Yes, sir.
To seek a daily reliance.
reliance on Christ, so that I may know my God and make Him known. So in the process, raise up qualified disciples to fulfill the Great Commission as fast as possible. So at the end of my life, I may say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith.
Okay, I want you to stand up and turn around and read that to them a little bit louder. That was excellent, and I don't think you heard it in the back. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a cart. That was a golf cart. The guy came off the Wichita Falls Country Club golf course. He still cannot find his ball.
To seek a daily reliance on Christ so that I may know my God and make Him known. So in the process, raise up qualified disciples to fulfill the Great Commission as fast as possible. So at the end of my life, I might say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith.
Amen.
There's a part of what he just said that hit me in the heart. Because my spiritual mentor said that, what did he say, Mike? Do you remember?
As quickly as possible. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's what got you.
As quickly as possible.
Yeah, I was. No, he's not, but yes, in a way he may be. Gene Warr was a Oklahoma City businessman who was down here a lot and was an excellent speaker. And I had the glorious opportunity of having him try to beat me in shape. And no, he was always kind to me, but he mentored me. And what happened was, when he said that as quickly as possible, it took me right back to Gene Warr's life goal. Yeah. Okay. Somebody else? Yes, sir.
He said, living my faith with Christ at the center of my life, having a deep, unexpressible joy that comes from obeying Christ and having the world on my heart, a radical lover of God and people.
Okay. See, what he did now, he took that thing from being drudgery, because you had a word in there about, what was the word, joy?
Joy, yeah.
Okay. See, now, he took that thing from being drudgery to joy. Okay, let's talk about happiness and joy just a minute. Happiness is determined by your external circumstances. Joy is determined by your internal relationships. If you have a relationship with the living God, nobody can take your joy away from you. Okay? But now, you may not be happy, but inside, with a relationship with the living Christ, you have joy. Okay? Somebody else? Somebody over here. Yeah, I remember.
To glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
Now, he took a really simple approach. Anybody want to fault it? Not. Say it again.
To glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
Do you hear anything deep theological in that?
There is, but it's so simplistic, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Do you not understand what he just said? Yeah, there were not any these and thous in there, were there? No, it's not like reading King James. The real Bible. Not getting any with you on that one. Tom, were you raising your hand a while ago? Or did you back out?
I'll share something. I started praying, and I opened my Bible, and I'm going to read what I wrote in my Bible when I was 23 years old. I'm 46 now. But I flipped open to 3 John 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So my first thought was that my goal in life is, I want to walk in the truth. And then I don't pay attention to what I wrote from my Bible. And I'm kind of trying to reaffirm it here, maybe, and see if I still believe this. My purpose in life is fulfilled by depending on the Holy Spirit of God. I seek to know God and glorify Him in all my thoughts and actions, and to make Him known.
Okay. It's interesting. We've had a reoccurring theme here, and make Him known. Did you notice that? It's kind of a reoccurring theme, isn't it? Very good, Tom. I appreciate that. Anybody else want to walk the plank?
I wrote something real quick.
Okay.
Implement Christian graces into personal life, such that the Lord is placed on display.
Okay. Reread that, pardon me. I can't speak.
Implement Christian graces into personal life, such that the Lord is placed on display in me.
Okay. I like what he said, right? Okay. Somebody else?
Mine's pretty simple. By His grace, I would live for His glory.
Say it again, please.
By His grace, I would live for His glory.
Simple. Anybody miss it? No. Difficult to live? Yes. Impossible to live? No. Okay? There was somebody else that ventured out on this plank. Wayne, let's do it, okay?
My goal is to be a beacon of light and a glimmer of hope to others I come in contact with.
Okay? That's the same general thought that I have in my own. Same idea. Salt and light. We're supposed to be salt that creates hunger, and we're supposed to be light that shows the way. Okay, very good. Anybody else?
Yeah, to be an example to set so my family and friend may see Jesus in me.
You don't know how much I appreciate you saying that, because when I looked out in the audience, I thought you'd be the least cooperative. But I don't want you to be. Thank you very much. And I'm needling you a little bit just because I think you're going to take it. Read that again for me.
To set an example in my life, the way I live, so my friends and family may see Jesus in me.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, the Christian life is more caught than it is taught. Well, you guys about rested up? Let's take on another chore. Let's go down and let's write a one-year goal. Now, this is a little bit more simple. This is a little bit more simple. Isn't that a wonderful... Yeah, I write for a living. This is a little simpler. But now, here I'm gonna, let me prep you just a minute. Now, you have come here. Now, this workshop is at the end of the conference for a reason. You guys have been here. You've been to other workshops. You've been in small groups. And the Holy Spirit of God is beginning, if not, I don't want to say beginning. The Holy Spirit of God is working on you in some area. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Even some of these old gray-headed men have got some sins that they need to get out of their life. But that's not what we're talking about. The goal may be to get part of that crap gone. Pardon my... Oh, Fred will take that crap word out of there, okay? Out of my recording. Fred, take that out. Fred Krebs is the guy that edits this stuff for me. Thank goodness. Anyway. You think about in the area... Because remember I told you there's two areas. One has to do with Christ's likeness, and one has to be growing in effective service. The short-term goal, often, the one-year goal, often has to more to do with effective service because of the way we process. Men process differently. And so that goal will be a little bit more into effective service, more than likely. It doesn't have to be. It can be spiritual, very spiritual. And it can be growing in Christ's likeness. But it more than likely will have a little bit different tone. You remember mine? You remember what I said? I said I wanted to energize my quiet time. That's spiritual. Memorize scripture. That's spiritual. I wanted to read a challenging book. Okay, that is. Ministry side, I'd like to re-energize or be a part of a ministry we have started in Marietta that we've allowed to for a reason. We stopped it. We're going to restart it soon. Because it needed to be stopped. We didn't want it to become repetitious, boring. We want it to be new and fresh and moving all the time. So that's my deal. Okay, now I want you to take, and I don't care how simple it is or how silly it sounds, what God brings to mind for your one-year goal, write it down. Then what we're going to do is, I'm going to give you a chance to do that, and then we're going to go through and prioritize it. Let's give this one 10 minutes. It looks like you guys are pretty fast learners, so we'll wait just about. We'll cut this one a little short. I don't think it's going to take you 10 minutes to get this one. The tough cut part comes later. Okay. Now let's talk about a one-year goal. Then we're going to come back after we get through with the one-year goal. We're going to come back and see if we can't figure out how to implement, and I'm going to tell you another story. Okay, somebody share with me their one-year goal. Okay, John?
I
got to complete the NAB 273 book series with my wife, and then possibly with one or two other man-on-man.
Very good. Okay. That is a legitimate one-year goal, right? Yeah. Okay. Now you'd be thinking about how you're going to implement that because I'm coming back to you.
To lead two men to Christ and to begin to raise an instrument.
Okay, turn around and that's worth repeating. Turn around, look them in the face, and tell them.
To lead two men to Christ and then begin raising and nurturing them to become disciple makers.
Amen. Wouldn't you guys like to pray for him? Mike, go ahead, Mike.
Father, we thank you for this goal. I pray, Lord, that you've given it to men, and that you do it soon. And that he had the opportunity to begin to pour in their lives, and that their paths would cross in an actual way, and that the relationship would be easy to maintain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Who else wants to share their one-year goal? Okay, yeah.
To attend Key Men's Conference 1 year from now, and be able to look back at the previous year and say that I have effectively and completely applied the knowledge, wisdom, and truth that I learned at this conference to my life.
Oh my gosh. Great. Some of you old guys, you want to hear, would you like to have that tattooed on your forehead? Yeah, that's wonderful. He says what he's saying is, I want to be able to take what I have learned and apply it to my life. Right? That's a short version. What in the world? Why are we here? Why are we here? See, it all this deal is nothing if you don't apply it to your life. The Word of God doesn't do anything for you if you don't apply it to your life. Always look for application. How does that apply to my life? Very good. Very good. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Joe?
To develop a consistent, regular, daily devotional with my family.
Okay. You married? Okay. I knew that I'd shame you into it.
I put more consistent quiet time, greater effort towards scripture memory, and a better review process, and communicate vision of disciple making to both my sons, my daughter, my church family, and whoever God puts in my path.
Corey, you're an overachiever. No, it's a great goal. No, I'm just kidding you. Yeah, Kelly.
I had a lot of spiritual ones, but I also, this year for the first time, really set the world goals that I need. And that was to pay off my
loans.
I have my finances set up for the year. I've got a big decision on a house coming up in the middle of the year.
Okay. How does that affect him spiritually? Okay, but now let's take it one time now. And I'm not picking on him because he's exactly right. There's nothing wrong with that goal. But how does that debt service deal, a new house, et cetera, how does that affect him spiritually?
Makes him a slave to
It removes him from being a slave, yeah. Yeah, okay.
It keeps him in prayer, and if he's in prayer, it will want him to stay.
Sense of direction. Very good. John?
It's also a discipline. He's learning a discipline that can be applied to other areas of stewardship of his time and his emotions and so forth.
Yeah.
No man at war entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier.
Reference fore and aft.
Say Timothy.
I've heard that before. No, the reference deal, not the verse. I'm not good at verses. Okay.
It's an issue of respect among men. If you live a respectful life, a responsible life, then it gives you a platform which you can share.
Okay, and I'm going to give you a twist on this. We could pray. We're not going to take the time. We could pray that when Kelly buys that new house, it opens up a ministry for him and provides him with a place to use his home for his ministry. The ministry is in the marketplace and in the home. It is not necessarily in the church. The message is carried on the mainstream of the life. And the mainstream of the life carries the message into the marketplace. Is that all right, Kelly?
Exactly.
Didn't want to beat up on you, but that's... Okay, now I'm going to go back over here to you. Now, what we're going to do is, the next thing is, I want you to set some priorities so that you can reach that goal. Now, these need to be practical. Okay? Now, I'm going to take his apart as a demonstration. Okay, read your one-year goal again.
To develop a consistent, regular, daily devotional with my family.
Okay, now let's set with him. Let's help him set some priorities that will help him reach that goal. Now, you furnish me with one yourself.
We sit down for dinner every night, and there's a window of time right there where we can...
Okay. So what he says is, now this fits, I didn't ever dream he'd go there, but this fits the when, see? The when. And what he just said is he wants a regular time to have a devotional with his wife and child. Okay, that would be a valid priority. Okay, let's take it one step further. What does he want to do in the way of a devotional? See, that is broad. That's big. Let's take that down and let's talk about what he wants to do, what you guys would want him to do. You older guys, tell him what you'd want him. Now listen, most of us older guys blew it with our kids, okay? So don't you think we're going to lay you out and you young guys and tell you how perfect we were. We, most of us, blew it, okay? Right?
Amen.
Yep. Yeah.
Graduated school hard enough.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk to him, a young guy. He wants to have a devotional with his wife and child. Let's talk to him about how he can do that in a practical way. What priority can he get?
How old is his child?
But
six. He's surprised. He's surprised. He's older than he looks like he is. Now, what can we do to give him a priority that would help him reach it? He has an appointed time. Now, we've got that one. I got an appointed time. Now, what's next, John?
I don't mean to sound hokey or anything, but first and foremost, you as the head of the house need to establish your personal love relationship between you and God. You need to know how to be loved so you can learn and teach your wife what love is all about and teach your child. So the first and foremost is make sure that your vertical relationship is intact, so that you would be effective and not be hypocritical when you try to do your horizontal relationship.
Okay, now I'm going to take you another place that you may not have thought of going. It's just possible his wife does not want to go there. So he has to create an environment and convince her that it is to her. See, all of our decisions in life are made based on profit, how it will benefit me. That is the background in every decision you make. Now, you may cloak it in different ways, but most of our decisions are made on what is the benefit. Okay? So he has to convince his wife that there is a benefit to them in having a nightly devotional. Because if she's not on board, she'll never sit down. And if she doesn't want to face that spiritual deal, she'll find all kinds of busy work. You guys, older guys, are all naughty. You can hear it. When they nod, you can hear that click. It's their neck. Okay. I got a break. This is getting too serious. Let's take him another step. Give me another suggestion on what his priority would be. We're going to let him ride his own. But what's another suggestion?
There's a big payoff in doing it a long time. A long time.
Yeah.
The son will grow up knowing that you seek wisdom in the Bible. And that's what he said.
Yeah, spiritual life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Okay?
Allow your wife the opportunity to be included in the actual substance that they're going to be studying.
Yeah. Have it participatory, where she is a participant. That's a good idea.
More material. She has ownership in the devotional instantly.
Okay, now there's lots of kinds of devotionals. Now no, I don't mean that. I'm material. So just to sit down at the table and say, we're getting ready to have a devotional, don't do that one, you know. I mean, that's good, you know, whatever that is. But so one of the ways to do that would be to read a psalm a night. And I'm just pulling this out of the air. The psalms are pretty applicable, pretty easy to understand. And with guys, it works better with proverbs. You know, the proverb I particularly like that I quote very rarely at home is, it is better to dwell on the housetop exposed to the elements, than inside the house with a contentious, fault-finding woman. By the way, guys, let me tell you something. My wife and I have been hanging around together since I was 15 and she was 14. We started going together before I had a driver's license. And I'd have a country road. I found a way to drive around the country road to get her house out in the country. And she and I have been together as boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife that long. And it just gets better. 50 plus, okay? Now, I'm not going any further with that. No, it's just a commercial. Okay? Mike?
You sort of said it by saying the Proverbs and Psalms, but keep the time span short so that it doesn't become drudgery.
Yeah, your child will have a short attention span, and you want to, I don't like using the word dumb it down, but you want to keep it where they can understand it. Now, the other thing I would tell you is that if you could work out a way that you could read a psalm and illustrate it with a story, sometimes that's the most effective way to communicate to a child, is to illustrate the biblical principle with a story. Okay? Okay, now I'm going to take a minute, and I think we've got 25 more minutes. It's gone better than I thought. You all are better than I anticipated. Anyway, that's another story. Yeah, that's a compliment in there, but I don't usually give them, okay? Pardon me. Why don't you take your one-year goal and you begin to prioritize? Now, I want to throw out one more little gem for you that you might want to write down. Actually, I'm going to give you two. I'm going to illustrate the first one with a story. Our lives today are dominated by the urgent and not by the important. Okay? Our lives today are dominated by the urgent, not by the important. You all feel that? Yeah, I think so. And by the way, the youngest guy in here feels the same thing as the oldest guy in here, in the urgent and the important. Okay? There's not that much difference. I read a story, and I thought I wrote it in that handout, but I didn't see it there. And I intended to, but I'm not going to go into my good intentions. But President Truman, now this, to you younger guys, this is our president that took over at the death of Roosevelt at the end of 1945. He was a crusty old coot from up in Missouri who led our country at a time when we really needed leadership that was strong, and he was really... I'm going to tell you what, you listen to Obama, you don't know what he said, nobody ever missed what Truman said. Okay? I mean, he was point blank. None of y'all remember him but me. Okay, let's go back to this deal. He was asked by a nosy newsman, probably, how he determined, how he, with as many demands on his day, time, how he determined what he was going to go, what he was going to do. And here was his answer, and it is documented that he actually said this. He said, I make a pile on my desk every day, and I put over here is the urgent, and over here is the important. And he took a little silence, and everybody's wondering, okay, how does that do it? He says, then I get up from my desk, and I take my wastebasket over there, and I rake the urgent into the wastebasket. And that way I know that I always worked on what was most important for our nation. Not a bad story. Okay? Have your life dominated by what is important and not what is urgent. You do have to take care of urgency, but that's not all of it. Okay, let's see what you can do with giving you some priorities that will help you reach your one-year goal. Okay, would one of you guys like to read your one-year goal and then read one or two of the things that you put as priority to reach that goal? Anybody? Just yes.
Be more effective and efficient on my time with men.
Okay.
What else did you want to do?
Now tell me how you're going to reach that goal.
I've been lax in being organized before meeting with them.
Okay.
Way ahead, not just 5 minutes, I mean way ahead organized in terms of basically where I want that to go with that one figure.
Okay.
And then in my I haven't been writing down the little ditties and key verses. I've underlined them in my Bible. I need to write them down.
Journal.
Journal.
Okay.
Okay. And so I can just transfer that principle on.
Okay, I'm going to pick up on what he just said and a little bit out of my own program. If I'm working with a guy, and even if I'm working with a relatively large group, like 15 or 20 people, before we ever start the Bible study, I will pray for them individually, and I will set in my own mind what my goal is for them, for their life. What I would like to see them come out of the study with me, or that I'm directing, or that I'm a part of. And I will set a goal in my mind for what I want that person to come out of it. In other words, what we do is we start stuff through the process, and we don't know what we want it to look like when it comes out the end. So I want to, they will not do that necessarily. That may not be what happens, but at least I have started with intentionally going down one direction with those guys. I've got a guy that I've been working. All I'm trying to do is keep him clean. You know, my goal is keep him clean 6 weeks or 8 weeks, because he's not. I mean, you know, you don't take him to the church picnic unless you want somebody to mess up the table. So my goal with him is keep him clean. That is a legitimate goal. I'll tell you, it is. We've got had an 82-year-old woman that was in a group Bible study. My prayer for her was that she'd come out of that. She'd been through every program the church offered, that she'd come out of that with a new vision at 82 and also not be critical of what was going on in there for the rest of us. That's fair. I mean, that is fair deal, you know. For the younger guy that I have worked with, I just want to see him to begin to make decisions based on what the Word of God says. That, by the way, that is a very general goal for anybody you work with. You know you're making progress with a person in discipleship when you can determine that they're beginning to make decisions in their life based on what the Word of God says rather than what the world tells them. Okay? That's a real simple gauge of where you're going. I got diverted. I'm sorry. I started preaching. You know. But okay, what else? Let's do one more, guys. One of you other guys, tell me what your one year is.
Mine is to be consistent in my walk with God and to share the gospel with my parents.
Man, that's tough. But I admire you for wanting to do it, okay? I really and truly do.
To be consistent in my walk with God and to share the gospel with my parents.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what he just told. I'm going to translate this for him. God has a tendency to honor a clean vessel. What he just told you was he wants to clean up his vessel. See, good works are what slops over when your cup's full. Simple thought. That's all the good works are. It slops over when your bucket's full, your cup's full. What he just said was he wants to clean up, he wants to get his life clean enough that his parents recognize and see a difference in him. Fair? Okay. Very, very good. What else do you want to talk about? It's your time now. You got 30 seconds. Let me close with just something, and I'm going to give you about 10 minutes back. Well, it'll be 5 time I get through trying to close. Yeah.
I think my number 5, I guess, would be my hardest, is going to be once I've written this out to give it to somebody for the accountability.
My goodness. Listen to what he just said. Okay? Listen to what he just said. He said for him to have enough, I'm going to use the word guts, have enough guts to hand that thing over to somebody that and to who he asked them to hold him accountable for what the decisions he has just made. See, there's a deal here where you can't make anybody accountable to you. You can only make yourself accountable to somebody else. I cannot make you accountable to me spiritually. I can, if you ask me, I can hold you accountable. But that decision initiates with Tom, and it can only initiate with Tom. That cover it?
Yeah, that's the hardest one, because I can go and throw this away when I leave.
Yeah, you guys, I'm fully prepared to look down toward the dining room, see the litter. you know? Yeah, or if you're really bad at me, you're going to go down and bury it in a hole and then do something with it. Okay, let me read you something really quick. This is out of Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anybody wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself has to do with the fact that he puts me first. You put Jesus first in your life. The idea of take up your cross, I'm going to give you a twist on that. The cross was the mark of crucifixion. It was the way the Roman government made a criminal identify in public that he was a criminal. So to take up your cross daily, and I put the word daily in there, means that you will identify with Christ in the marketplace on a daily basis. And then follow me. And that's what Tom just said. The biggest problem is to make the step to follow. Okay?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Especially to the young men in here.
Thank you.
Don't accept milk toast. Be a courageous warrior for Christ. And don't compromise on your spiritual journey.
Very well said. Mike, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds to clean up your act back there and confess all your sins, and then I'm going to ask you to pray for these guys. Okay, Michael. Go ahead, Mike. Pray for these guys.
Father, we thank you for the men that have gathered here this afternoon in this room to look at putting order in their lives and that becoming accountable to you and to another man in the area of setting some goals and some priorities. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us each to give our lives to those two things that Willis mentioned, to the Word of God and to the souls of men. And to be able to do that in a way that brings honor to you, not to us. And that we would not neglect our family in this process. And I mean that in the sense of that we would remember to include them in our goals, and that we would not neglect them because we're pursuing the goals that we've written down that we think are really important. So guard us, Lord, there in the area of the family. And I pray for these men as they leave this conference, tonight or tomorrow, whenever they choose to do that we would be able to each one take something from the conference, maybe just one thing even, and begin to work that into our lives, and that if we're back here next year, we can report that we really did make progress, and God really did do some things in our lives in that particular area that we pressed on. In Jesus' name, amen.